26. If you would, just in reverence to the Word of God, let's stand together. Psalms 26. Verse number 1, Psalms 26. Everybody there? Say amen. All right. Verse 1 says, "Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord, therefore I shall not," what? "Slide." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You today for Your blessings and Lord, for this opportunity that we have on this side of eternity to come and to worship You. And Lord, I pray that You will be here today in the midst. I pray for Your Spirit to find freedom here today. And Lord, we want to remember those of our congregation that may be under the weather. For other reasons, Lord, we don't know why they're not here, but we just pray for them today as well. And Lord, I just pray now that for the next few moments that You might open our minds and our hearts and help us to just understand Your Word better today. Thank You for all You do for us. In Christ's name, amen. How many of you, let me ask you this question, just be straight blank, point blank with you. How many of you today know you're saved? How many of you feel as excited today as the day you got saved? You got 2, 3, 4. How many have good and bad days? How many, some days you just love church and the Lord and everything, and some days, whew, it's just, I don't know. It's like this. How many ride the roller coaster on the Christian life? Well, David seems to have said something here that really stuck out to me in my reading this week. And I've went over and over this. I want you to read this verse with me one more time, and then I'll get you into the message today. David said, "Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord. Therefore I shall not," what? "Slide." I think David's talking about he will not backslide. That's a very common Christian terminology. We've all heard of backsliding. How many of you have ever backslid? Well, if you couldn't raise your hand a while ago and I said you feel like you did the day you got saved, you backslid. We all are sitting right here and we're backsliders. Anytime we go backward in the Christian life, we have slid, we've backslid. And David said in this psalm, because of these things, I will not slide. I will not backslide. So I want to give you 3 or 4 things today that I think could help you from backsliding. I can tell in the congregation, as long as I've been pastor now, when the congregation is going this way or this way. I can tell. First of all, you tell in numbers. You tell in faithfulness. You tell in visitors. What do you mean? What does visitors have to do with it? When you are excited about church, when you are excited about the Lord, you visit. You invite people to come with you. You bring your friends. And then when you're sliding backwards, you don't bring your friends. It's true. When you're sliding back, you don't come like you always were. You're not as faithful as you once were. You don't read your Bible like, how many started out the first of the year going to read your Bible all the way through? How many still on track? I mean, we backslide. It's a common occurrence. How many of you are tired of that, though? How many like to just hit some plateau somewhere, or at least it was an upward climb instead of a backward slide? Well, I think I can give you 3 or 4 things today that can help. I wish I could tell you that I never faced this. Preachers face it. You can get caught up. You can get burned out. You can get all kinds of things going on in your life. And you forget the excitement of just worshiping and serving God. And that's the part we should never forget. This, to me, as a pastor, should never become a job. I've told Rochelle several times since I've been in the ministry, if this becomes a job to me, please tell me so I can get out of it. Because I don't think I'm doing the job. I think it's something God's called me to do, but it'd be no different than your calling. If you're just singing or whatever you're doing for the Lord, we all have something to do. And sometimes we're not as excited about it as we once were. Sometimes we look forward to church, and then now we look for excuses not to go. That's what happens. So, I want to show you three or four things that David says in this psalm that can help us. Number one, he said in verse number 2, "Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. And try my what? And my..." So the first thing David says, if he's going to keep from sliding, he's got to have an examination. How many of you are faithful goers to the doctor every year? One, two, the same ones that are feel like they're still saved. It's the same ones. Well, why don't we like to go to the doctor? We don't want them to find nothing, right? You know, if it's not broke, what? Don't fix it. So, if I'm feeling fair, then I'm going to stay away from the doctor. Because all they want to do is scan you and hunt around, and eventually they'll find something, won't they? They got to sell pills, right? And we've got a pill to fix everything. So, and we keep the lawyers in business because after a while you've got to sue them because of the pills you're taking. We found that causes this kind of damage. Right? So we got a good process going. But the Bible says, David says, "Examine me, doctor." What? Oh, Lord. So the first thing I'd ask you all this morning is this. How many of you have asked God to examine you today? How many of you can sit in your pew right now for the next few minutes and say, "God, I know there's an invitation coming. Would you examine me today in this service? And Lord, if there's anything here, you show me that I need to do. If I need to rededicate, if I need to ask for forgiveness, if I need to go forward for some reason, Lord, I'm going to do it today." How many of you, I want hands. How many are you willing to say, "Lord, examine me this morning in this service"? Because I put myself out there. "Lord, examine me today." Now when he said, "Try my reins," you know what? Why do you try reins? WC's a horse rider. You're a horse rider. WC, you ever got on a horse that you've never rode before? Tell me some things you do first. Check them reins. What? They're the brakes, right? You find out if the horse is sensitive in his mouth. Is he hard to stop or is he easy to stop? If you get in his mouth too much, is he going to come over backwards, right? So the first thing you do is you test those reins. You know what the reins are, people? The reins are what controls us. We're asking God to examine us and check our controller. Check what controls me. So, Brother Mike, I found out that I'm controlled by several things. I'm controlled by my emotions. How many of you are emotionally controlled? Huh? You get up and down. Sure you are. Now, what you're at, you need to ask God, this emotion I'm feeling, this depression today that I feel, or whatever I'm feeling today, Lord, is this from you or is this of the devil? Try my reins. Lord, try my emotions. Try my thoughts. How many of you believe your thoughts control you? Not just your emotion, but your thoughts. Sure they do. We're asking God to try to examine us. Now, there's a verse that I found in 2 Corinthians 13 that I have to read this morning. Keep your psalm marked. We're going back there. But 2 Corinthians 13. This started making a lot of sense to me. Look at verse 5, 2 Corinthians 13:5. "Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobate." Now, how many times did he ask us in that verse, examine or prove or know. Over and over, this is the first thing you need to do this morning. Before we can even have an invitation, I want everybody to look right here a second. The Bible says you need to examine yourself and see if you're in the faith. Now I want you to understand something. He's not talking about the Baptist faith. He's talking about the faith that gets you saved. You need to know today if you're saved or not. You don't need me to tell you if you're saved. Preacher, I think I'm saved. What do you think? I tell you today, I hear too many testimonies that don't let me think they're saved. I'm not talking about the living testimony. I'm talking about when I ask them, if you were to die today, where would you go? And they say, well, I'd go to heaven. And I always say, well, tell me why you think that. You wouldn't believe some of the reasons why people think they're going to heaven. Can I give you some of them? One man told me just recently, he was in a car accident and he should have died and God saved his life. He said, ever since then I've been going to church. Well, God spared his life. Listen, just because you didn't die when you hit a tree, don't mean you're going to heaven. Then other people said, I went forward and the preacher prayed for me. Well, I'm telling you something, unless you prayed and asked you to save you, the preacher can't pray you into heaven. That's a wrong, false profession of faith. That'll never hold water. You'll never get to heaven that way. You've been spared from hitting a tree and the preacher prayed for you, you're still going to bust hell wide open. Y'all know that? Well, when I was a baby, I went, my grandma, my mom, and my godparents, they baptized me. That's all fine and well and good. I'm sure you got a certificate and that was a precious time in your life. But I'm going to tell you a secret. You'll never go to heaven because you got baptized as a baby. Or you'll never go to heaven because you got baptized in a river or a baptistry or a creek since you're an adult. There's been a lot of people that think they're going to heaven because they've got wet. And I can tell you that all that wet's going to do is nothing. But maybe mold you a little. How do I go to heaven? How do I know I'm in the faith? It's simple. Now y'all got to examine yourself this morning. And it's what the Bible says. If you will confess with your mouth, that means you will admit to God that you're a sinner. Confess with your mouth. And you will believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. You believe the only way you can get to heaven is because He died on a cross. He was buried in the ground. He rose from the grave to buy your sin. If you will confess to God and you will ask God to forgive you of that sin and Jesus to save you, you know what will happen? You will go to heaven. Now you need to examine yourself this morning. You all raise your hand. I'm asking you throughout the building. Not if you're a Baptist, a Methodist, a Catholic. I'm asking you, have you ever been saved? You've got to examine yourself. But you know what else he said in that verse? That you will know yourself. Read that verse with me one more time. Let me go back there. 2 Corinthians 13. I want you to read this. I don't want you to get caught up in what I say. Verse 5. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own self. Now look at this. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is what? Listen. It's a fact. If you're going to heaven today, you know it. You know it. You don't have to hope it. You don't have to think it. You don't have to worry about it. You will know it. Can I ask you today while you're examining yourself in this building, do you know that? Do you know that you're saved? Do you know you're a child of God? That's the first thing you got to examine. Now here's the second thing that you need to examine. You need to examine your thoughts. You know, they're finding out about our brain, that our brain is like a compartment with a lot of different rooms in it. Everything you've ever been taught in your life is still in there. 241-5673. Anybody know what that is? That's my phone number when I went to kindergarten. Anybody want to know what my phone number was at Mount Hebron? I ain't got a clue. I had my phone number when I was in Belize. No idea. But I can tell you the phone number when I was in kindergarten. 241-5673. Am I right? How did I know that? Because it's in one of those little rooms. Now, are you ready for this? Every one of you have got a bunch of rooms up here. Some of those rooms, Brother Greg, you let God in. Some of those rooms God occupies. I'm going to tell you how I know that, Scott. Because any place that God occupies, He cleans it up. God can't live around trash, Shannon. He's not dirty, filthy. There's no cobwebs in God's house. Everybody all right? God is clean. If you let God into a compartment of your mind, He will clean it up. Now, can I ask you all a personal question? Any of you got any dirty compartments? Some places that ain't so clean that you go to occasionally? Does that word ever come flying out that you don't want to say anymore? Where'd that come from? It come out of one of them compartments, didn't it, Doug? You got any bitterness towards somebody? There's somebody that you just really can't stand to look at? God's not in there. Do y'all know that? Now, let me tell you, let me show you something. If I don't go no farther than this today, I gotta get you to see this. We've all got these compartments. And if God is not dwelling in them, who is? Satan. And he's the one that's encouraging us to say that. He's encouraging us to think that. He's encouraging us to do that. And that's causing our Christian life to either be up here or down here. Now let me show you a verse in Revelations. Oh, not Revelations. We're going to that stuff again. We're going way before that stuff, all right? Revelation chapter 3. Verse 20. Everybody there? I'm going to tell you what this is not and what this is. I'll be honest with you, when I first started preaching, I preached this as a salvation sermon and a salvation scripture. I'm going to tell you why that's not true. Because the verses we're reading right here, God, Jesus Christ is speaking to a church and to the saved. Alright? Saved people, Scott, don't need to be saved. Right? So when you read a verse to saved people, that you think it's about being saved, and you automatically know what? It's not about being saved. But I think this has to do everything with what I've been telling you this morning about these rooms you've got in your head. Behold, verse 20, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. You got some bitterness towards somebody? God wants to get in that room. And Angie, if God can get in that room where that bitterness is, He'll clean it up. Because the Bible says that He wants to dwell in our hearts, according to Ephesians chapter 3. He wants to dwell. You know what that means? To stay. He just doesn't want to come and visit, Shannon. He wants to move in. So if you've got a little compartment over here and it's got some dirty words in it, you know who needs to move in? Let me ask you something. You think the Lord wants in that room? You think He's knocking at the door, let me in there? Can I ask you a question? Why won't you let Him in? Because I tell you what, there's part of us that wants to hang on to that stuff. There's part of us that wants to keep our old ways. Because we never know, Karen, if this church thing don't work out, I might can go back doing what I used to do and I'd still be trained. See, Paul said old things were passed away. You know why? Because he made it to pass away. When it started coming back up, Paul said, I ain't dwelling there. I'm going to let the Lord in that room, Scott. He's knocking. Come on in, Lord. I tell you what, I think it took a while for Paul to get there. I don't think it happened overnight. And it's not, you're not going to get there overnight either. But if you're sick and tired of being here as a Christian and here as a Christian, then I'm telling you what you need to do. You need to let him in some more rooms. Well, I tell you, I just don't much like church anymore. You need to let God in that room. See if it'll change anything. Well, I just can't go to church with those people. You need to let God in the room. You need to let him in those little rooms. Remember, if you don't remember nothing else this morning, you remember this. He's a knocking at that door. He's wanting in that room. You know what? You get ready to listen to the music. There's a room that God likes. There's music that God likes. And, oh, you know, you let him in that room. Fire and the blood. When we all get to heaven. Oh, I think God's in there, don't you? But how many of you got another room? When you just feel a little bit bad. I just want to listen to some of this for a while. Huh? Come on. Am I getting where I shouldn't be? Good. I'm telling you, he's knocking. Because God is not about you here and you here. He's about you not sliding. Right? And what you got to do is you got to try. You got to let him examine your thought. Let him in the room and anything in there you don't need. This is what I love to have happen at my house, Amanda. I have an Amanda too. My Amanda is a pack rat. Let me get on my Amanda for a minute. Y'all bear with me. My Amanda keeps all my kids' jeans when they're wore out because one day she's going to make them all a quilt. I got a pack of jeans that high and some of them are in Joshua's a little bitty critter, you know? And she's hanging on to them. What I would love happen in my house is this. I'd like for Amanda to come to my house and go through everything you don't think that I need in there. Not this Amanda, that Amanda. See, what we're asking God to do is, we're asking Him to come into this compartment, into this room up here, and anything He don't see that I need, Joseph, God, you get rid of it for me. Because you know what I'll do, Amanda? I might just want to keep that one. And I'll just open up another compartment over here. I've sat down with couples who have been through trials. They've had adultery and different problems. And I'll say, now listen, if you're going to go on in this marriage, you both are going to have to forget this today. You're going to have to bury it. You're not going to bring this up anymore. And they'll both say, Peggy, you know what? It never happened. 3 years later, I'm sitting in the office and I'm talking to them. And he brought it up. He said he wasn't going to bring it up anymore. You know what? He just stuck it over in another room. What God wants to do in your life is come in to that room and get rid of the stuff that He don't think you need there. I guarantee your language will change. I guarantee how you talk to people will change. I guarantee how you think about people will change. I guarantee how you act about things will change. I'm telling you, you'll change the more rooms you let him in. But I tell you what, I think there's a bunch of rooms up there, don't you all? And I think this is what's controlling us. Because I got out of bed this morning, and however I felt this morning is going to dictate the whole day for me. You know what I'm talking about? You ever got out of bed on a good rainy morning? How'd you feel? Ugh. How'd you feel about lunch? Huh? Am I right? I'm telling you, your mind, your thinking, everything jumps in, and now you're controlled. And God says, let me take a look in there for a while. Let me doctor fill you. Let me get in there and look in your mind. I tell you what, I think He can fix it. We need to be examined. Now the second thing He says, go back to Psalms. I got to hurry now. I got hung up there. Finally got unhung, though. Now we're moving. Go back to Psalms 26. He says, verse 3, "For thy loving kindness is before mine eyes. I have walked in thy truth. I have not sat with vain persons, neither will I go in with..." Now you all tell me what that word is. Huh? Dissemblers. Y'all read that word? Neither will I go in with what? Dissemblers. Now I like that word, because I understand what D-I-S means. That means to undo something. Can I tell you what the devil is behind more than anything today? Undoing what God does. You know what God's for? Unity. Psalms 133. How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. You know what the devil wants? He wants to make you all dissemblers. He wants you to get an attitude that you want to make trouble. You know, in every church, did I say every church? Every church, there are people who want to make trouble. Did I say every church? Every church. There's dissemblers. People who want to tear apart what God is doing. Now, how do you make sure you're not that person? How many read your Proverbs every day? Let me read you three Proverbs real quick. Go to Proverbs 16. Just a few pages over from where you're at. You're not that far away. Proverbs 16. We're hurrying now. Proverbs 16. Verse 27. "An ungodly man diggeth up evil, and his lips there is a burning fire." Y'all read that? Proverbs 16:25. What does he do? He diggeth up evil. You can either be a person who buries or a person who digs up. Every one of you. That's your choice. Do I want to make it better or do I want to make it worse? Anytime you dig it up, you make it worse. Y'all with me? And so the number one thing, we to not be a dissembler, because David said, "I don't want to slide backwards." So what do I got to do not to slide backwards? I got to make sure I don't hang out with the wrong people, and I got to make sure I'm not a dissembler. I'm not somebody who digs up things. Now look at another proverb. Proverbs 20. One page over. Proverbs 20. Verse 19. "He that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets. Therefore meddleth not with him that flattereth with his lips." Not only are there people that dig up, but then there's people that what? They're carriers. They always say in all these diseases that there's carriers. And usually the carriers are really never sick. That's the weirdest thing. You can be a carrier of a disease and you're not the sick one. You're just passing on everybody else. And there's people, the Bible says, that are dissemblers and all they are is carriers of trouble. They just bring other trouble to other people. They just love to make trouble. You know what? That's against God. And you will be a backslider, I promise you, if you get yourself caught up into that kind of thing. Now here's the last one in Proverbs 10. Proverbs 10. Look at verse 18. "He that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander is a what? In the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. The tongue of the just is a choice silver. The heart of the wicked is of what? Little words." Do you want to be worth something for God? Then you can't be one of these dissemblers, these tattle bearers, these gossip spreaders, these people looking to dig up stuff on people. There's not a person in this building that don't have a past. I'm going to be honest with you. Most of you got a present. Huh? And we can sit here all day and rip each other apart. Or we can do something more creative than that. More better. Build up people. You know, we can sit here and let somebody just rip us. And you know what? That's not going to do anybody any good. Because I think we all, if we're safe, we realize we're doing wrong. And we know somebody will have to point their finger at me and tell me I'm doing wrong. How about you? So you know that. What do you need? You need encouragement. You need somebody to help get you up out of the mess you're in. You need somebody. And what we don't need is people who's digging it up, passing it around, and making it stink. That's what the Bible says a dissembler is. Now, you want to keep from backsliding, you need to let God examine you, and you need to have some separation in your life. Now let me give you one more. We ain't got time for all of them, so let me give you one more. I put down exaltation. Anybody know what that means? That means to just praise the Lord. We don't praise the Lord no more. We're just dead as logs. Is there nobody here got anything good has happened this week in their life? Huh? Has anybody had a praise this week that they can that God's done something? Hey, give us something right here in the middle. This ain't rehearsed, orchestrated. Give me a praise. Praise the Lord, He fixed my air conditioner. I got double praise. 3 o'clock in the morning, Peggy's brother came back from a hearing up in Pennsylvania. He'd got his daughter back at that hearing, and he stopped by my house at 3 a.m. and got my air conditioning fixed. And now I got a cold. But hallelujah! I'm not sweating anymore. But you know what? There's praises, aren't they? There's praises. And you know what? If we're not careful, we let the devil make the whole week bad and we forget to praise the Lord. There's a story that in the book of Acts, the 16th chapter. Let me go here and I'll quit with you. Acts 16. Because I want to give you a chance to respond this morning in this invitation. There's so many things that David talks about in this backsliding chapter 26. And I encourage you to read that this afternoon, but let me share this with you in Acts 16. This is a story of Paul and Silas, and they've been out witnessing and working for the Lord, and then what happened, they got arrested. They got arrested for worshiping the Lord and helping somebody else out. What happened was, after they got arrested, they took their clothes off of them, and they took them to like the downtown Danville at Constitution Square where everybody could meet, and they beat them. And then they took them to prison. Now I got something to share with you while they're in prison. That's why I want you to turn with me. Turn with me to verse 23 of chapter 16 of Acts. Everybody there. Look at 23. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them to the inner prison and made their feet fast in stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Let me tell you why you and I need to praise more. And when we need to praise. Number one, we need to praise at midnight. And I'm not talking at 12 o'clock. What is midnight? When we talk about the midnight hour, we're talking about the darkest times in our life. We're talking about when times are bad. That's the time. You know what? When times are bad, we do one of two things. If times are bad, we either get down in the dumps and we quit going to church. Come on. How many of you went through a bad time in your life and you quit going to church? Come on. Things are going wrong with the kids. Things are going wrong with the job. Things are going wrong between you and your wife. And you just quit going to church. Come on. We have, haven't we? We've done that. And you know what? That's the time to praise the Lord. You want to keep from backsliding. The last place you need not to be is at church. You need church. If you're going through trouble with your kids, you need church more than you ever have. You're going through trouble with your wife, you need church more than you ever had. You need God more than you've ever needed Him at the darkest time in your life. Amen or oh me. It's true, isn't it? So here they are at midnight, and they've been beaten, they're in stocks and bonds, you know, they're tied up there, and what happens? Amazing grace. I mean, they just bust out and start singing. And what did the Bible say? The prisoners, what? Heard it. You know why you need to praise the Lord, Joseph? In your bad time? Because all the other people will hear it. You're more effective at your lowest point in your life for God. You're more effective when you're going through cancer and death of loved ones than you are sitting right here in this congregation. You're more effective. Because everybody sees you at your lowest point. Now they're going to find out if God's real or not real. And if you quit church, you know what, Scott? God ain't real. Because if God was real right now, you'd be at church early. You'd got there an hour before Sunday school just waiting on it. You say, when's the next service? Right? Come on. But the devil says, no. You don't need to go. Then people are going to talk to you. The preacher wants to pray for you. He's probably even mentioning it in church. You don't want to go. You know what? You need to praise the Lord at midnight. Let me tell you when else, how else we need to praise the Lord. You know what? When you praise the Lord, the Bible tells us here in the rest of this story, in verse 26, that suddenly there was a great earthquake. So that the foundations of the prisons were shaken. Immediately all the doors were opened and every man's bonds were loosed. When you and I start praising God, He starts loosening things up in our life. You ever felt all knotted up, all tied up, like you can't even hardly breathe? Start praising God and see if you don't get loose. He says, I'll loosen those bands. I will. You know what He even does? If you read on down, the jailer even wakes up out of sleep. You know what praising the Lord does? Y'all ready for this? It raises the rest of you that's asleep awake. I think what would happen in this church if somebody starts praising the Lord, I mean, giving a testimony how great God is, and I think somebody else gives a testimony how great God is, I think it might wake some people up. I'm not saying no backflips from Waller in the floor. I say praise the Lord. He's worthy of praise. I had one more point I'm not going to give you to you today, but I thought about why we go to church. Why don't you think about that today? You know, you only come to church for three people, by the way. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. If you've come to church for any other reason than that today, you all have came for the wrong reason. So really, why do you go to church? If you think about it, you sit in this sanctuary right here, this ought to be the most highlighted day all week for you. This should be the most prestigious place you'd go this week, where you've just showed up. A couple months ago, I was preaching that youth rally. After I got done preaching, I came to the back door and was standing. Bobby was back there, and some others were back there with me. And I sat at the back door. While the other guy was preaching, I was looking right out in front of me. I could see two boys here, there's three girls there, and there was an older man sitting right there. They're all facing that way. Do y'all know what they were doing while that guy was preaching? They were texting. I couldn't believe it. I make jokes all the time about texting in church, but I really had never seen it like that. They're sitting right there, but they're just going to town, just texting up a storm. And I'm thinking, do y'all know where you're at? You're in God's house. This is God's house. God the Father's here. God the Son's here. God the Holy Spirit's here. And you're texting? I'd be afraid God would cut my hands off. But you know what I'm afraid? I think we've taken the sanctity of the sanctuary away. And you know why? Because a lot of churches are doing stupid stuff in the sanctuaries that I don't think God is no way behind it. He don't even look like church. Brother Jim sent me pictures back. They went to something, what was it called? Heaven Fest. And at Heaven Fest, they had a booth. And if you got saved over here, you go to this booth, and you can sign up, and they take you over in the river and baptize you, or in the lake and baptize you. Heaven's Fest. My hind leg, right? I don't think God's in that junk. Come on. Just because we put God on, I think worship ought to be, I think this ought to be a sacred place. Amen. You should no way stick gum underneath a seat, put your feet on a pew. Wow. It's God's house. I told you I wasn't going to give you those last points, but I did, didn't I? I figured why not take a shot while I was there. You know what? I don't want to backslide anymore. I'm sick of it. I want here. I don't want here. But you know what? I need to let God in. He needs to take a look. And I'm asking you this morning, would you let Him examine you in this invitation? If you're here not saved, get that fixed. Maybe you're here today and you've got some rooms that need God in them. Let Him in there today. Maybe you become a dissembler. Maybe you're that person. And you realize that day, God showed you, you're that person. Ask God to help you quit it. Whatever it is today that you need to do in this invitation, let Him have His way. Let's stand.